It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that MMA spot.
Welcome back to the MMA show. Now, you don't want to miss Shelly and June Volk. If you've missed last week and the week before, always go to my website. You can find all the shows on my website, ambermayshow.com. So go and visit my website right after we're done listening to the broadcast, and then you can catch yourself up on the story. But also, I want to ask you, if you believe in what I'm doing and you want to see this program grow, please consider becoming a partner. And you can visit my donation page at ambermayshow.com. And also, fill out the survey. Let me know who you are. Let me know if you're out there. And if you want to write me at P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona, 85385. P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona, 85385, or email me at amber@ambermayshow.com. Well, June's husband, Shelly, is joining us today on the broadcast. I'm so excited for it. But I want to start at the beginning, or where we kind of left off. June gave her testimony on how she found the Messiah. Your brother came to you, said, I found the Messiah. But when your wife came and you were in that kitchen, what went through your mind that day?
I thought she absolutely lost her mind. I thought my brother indoctrinated something into her. And selfishly, I said, oh my goodness, here I am, a Jewish executive of a brokerage firm. Most of my salesmen were Jewish. This could be a great obstacle to my career because I was a nice Jewish boy from Brooklyn, New York, and all I wanted to do is be a millionaire. And how can I be a millionaire if my Jewish wife accepted Jesus? And you know, you go back, Amber, 35, 40 years ago, it was very unique for a Jew to believe in Jesus. Now it's becoming more acceptable because God is opening the eyes of our people more than ever before. But it was, you know, the Bible talks about a stumbling block. I thought my wife became a stumbling block to me because how can I advance in my career? But you know what? As a believer, I would say this, we can argue doctrine. We could argue theology, but one thing nobody could argue against is a transformed new life. And I love June desperately. I mean, she's the only wife I've ever had. So we're married almost 50 years, which sounds incredible. But something happened that I could not ignore. There was a spirit about her. And she brought a lot of people into the house who were born-again believers. Almost all of them were non-Jews. But I saw something in these people that really provoked me to jealousy. There was a love. There was a peace. There were the shalom of God was with them. And I couldn't argue with that. But, you know, being a man, immediately my stubbornness rose up. And being a Jewish man on top of stubbornness, I was not going to be talked into something that was so foreign to me. And I just tried to cool it and act cool about it, but it was a great irritation. And you know, the Word of God says Jews look for a sign, Greeks seek wisdom, Jews look for a sign. And one day while driving home, my car got stuck on the way home, and it just rolled to the side because Jews aren't car mechanics. So what I did is read the sports pages and maybe something would happen. And at the end of my reading the sport pages, I said, God, you know, June talks about you. My brother talks about you. I know you parted the Red Sea. So what are you going to do with this beat up old Chevrolet? And you know what? I put the key in after the car was no doubt dead. And sure enough, the car started. And I figured, oh, coincidence. But you know what? When God wants your heart, he'll go to any extreme to get it. And for some reason, he was after me. I felt the breath of God breathing down my back. I was in the same car maybe a week or two later, around midnight, picking up some late-night groceries for the kids' breakfast in the morning. And being the nice guy that I was going to give the Lord another chance to prove himself. So when I came out of the little store where I bought some provisions, I said, maybe you did answer my cry last time, and you did start my car. I want to come back into the car. I don't want to change the station. I want to put the radio on, and I want to hear an evangelist. Now, in this little town of New Haven, Connecticut, coming from Brooklyn, New York, everything was little. You know, who would be on the radio at midnight? Well, I got into the car. Obviously, it started. I put the radio on, I didn't change the station, and Billy Graham was preaching. I said, oh, my God, I'm not going to tell June because she'll get too excited. And, you know, coincidence, but, you know, there are no such things as coincidences or luck or chance. And I felt like something had to happen, but, of course, I didn't tell June. And the same brother who brought the good news of the gospel to our family was getting married in California. And we, after much strenuous deliberations, we felt that we needed to go, primarily because my mother, who was suffering from a malignant brain tumor, really miraculously blessed our going. And that gave us the freedom to go. And we went to this wedding. And of course, my brother was Jewish, married a Jewish girl, but it was very unlike any Jewish wedding, certainly our Jewish wedding, than I've ever seen. It was in a church, and I did not want to be seen in a church. And on the wall in the church was a cross, and that was a foreign emblem to me, not understanding what the true significance of the cross was. And everybody was trying to preach the gospel to me, but I was geared up. But my sister-in-law's gown was made by the minister's wife. The food there was brought in by the people in the congregation. So foreign to me. But I sensed a spirit of love there that I've never seen anywhere else. Well, that was in the Bay Area, and we took a little mini vacation. We drove down to the L.A. area, where I agreed to attend a Christian meeting.
And you agreed to attend a Christian meeting?
Well, I didn't call it Christian. I figured there was a meeting. Christian was a foreign term to me. You know, that was the enemy, because there's a great anti-Christ spirit that Jews have toward Gentiles. So we went to this meeting, and I didn't get much out of it, but there was a bookstore there, and I went to purchase the book of the man who spoke. No, I'm sorry. We went to this meeting because we heard that there was a rabbi as part of this ministry,
okay.
And I figured this rabbi certainly wouldn't lead me astray. So I bought his book in the bookstore, and I'm sorry. We first went to this rabbi's office. We went to the bookstore in that place, and June came running over to me very excitedly and said, Shelley, I have a book for you. I know it's for you. The Lord showed it to me. And the book was called Ben Israel, Odyssey of a Modern Jew by Art Katz. So we decided that, well, maybe this was one. I didn't know it, but I think June knew that was one of the purposes. We even went to my brother's wedding. Well, when we came home, I was still a little disturbed, but June was doing her typical thing, reading the Bible. And I figured instead of mocking her, I would go into the den with her and read this book. And after one or two pages, I had to slam this book shut, because here was a Jewish man, Art Katz, who felt he was being hounded by God, and he couldn't escape out of the hand of God. And I felt exactly the same. Well, as the Lord would have it, we found out that Art Katz was coming to New Haven, Connecticut to speak at a full gospel breakfast. And there's a lot of other things. I just don't want to get carried away. The fact of the matter is, we ended up going to this meeting. But more than that, he and his family stayed with us at our home for that weekend.
Did you feel weird about that? Because you know this man believed in Yeshua?
Did I feel weird? I invited him, even though I didn't intend to, and I was scared out of my mind when he came. He came on a Friday night. We went to the meeting on Saturday, and there had to be 400 or 500 people there early in the morning. And he asked the Junie and I sit up at the head table, which was raised, and I was looking out at all these happy Christian faces so early in the morning, and I felt very uneasy. But this man, Art Katz, shared his testimony, and at the end of the testimony, he said, "Where are the Jews who want to trouble the city? Where are the Jews that no longer wanted some human award, but would seek after the awards and rewards of Paul and Silas," referring to Acts chapter 16. Of course, I didn't know anything about it then. But if you are a Jew that wants to trouble the city and wants to be like Paul and Silas, I challenge you to stand to your feet. So I was sitting at the head table, and two thoughts went through my mind. The first one, well, he's my house guest. How would it look sitting at the head table if I don't stand? It would only be proper. But my second thought was, who in the world is Paul and Silas? So I can say now, the Holy Spirit came and kicked the chair out from under me. So I was standing to my feet. June stood next to me, standing up, started to cry, and I didn't know really what happened. At the end of the meeting, a lot of people came over and said, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord," and had no idea why they were so happy. And that night, We were in our home about midnight, and I was in the kitchen with my father-in-law, and our cats came in and started to question my father-in-law about Isaiah 53. Why is it that we don't read that in synagogues? And he said, Gus, would you like me to read it to you? And which he did. And I had heard this many times from June and other people, but as our cats read Isaiah 53 to my father-in-law, all my fight came out of me, and I knew that I knew that I knew that this one who was wounded for our transgressions, was bruised for our iniquities, that Isaiah wrote about 700 years before Jesus walked the earth, I knew that I couldn't deny him anymore. So being the good Jew that I was going to give him one more chance to prove himself. And I said, if I could be alone in my car going to church tomorrow where Art was going to preach, I'll give him my life. And of course, Sunday morning, Art's family was there, our family was there, guests in the house were there. And I thought, since we only had two vehicles and our family is number 10, eight people wouldn't crush into one car and two in the other. But you know what happened? Art said, Shelley, come on, Inga's not ready. And I knew June wasn't going to go. She was preparing for an afternoon meeting in our home. And before I knew it, I told Art exactly what I just told you. He prayed for me. And there I was, a born-again Jewish man who couldn't resist the love of God because he sought after me and he found me. And he stayed one more day, and I figured, what can happen in one day? Well, the end of that day ended up Junie and I going to a Baptist church where Art had ministered, and would you believe it, I got baptized along with June. There we were, three Jews in a Baptist church being born again, and there was a born-again Catholic sister who, while I came up out of the water, was singing the Alleluia chorus. I thought I was in heaven. But you know what? God is good. And if anyone is listening who does not have a personal relationship with the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel, the Savior, the Lord, the great I Am, I just encourage you, don't fight against the God of Israel, who is coming back to be the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. His name in Hebrew is Yeshua, which means he is the Lord and he wants to save you. God saves. Jesus means the Lord saves. Call upon his name. If you call upon him out of the depths of your heart and are serious about it, he will meet you, he will save you, and you will come into a new realm of life, a life that God had originally intended for you. So, man to man and man to woman, I say, get down on your knees, cry out for the Lord to reveal himself, and your life will never be the same. It will become what God intended it to be right from the beginning of time. Bless his holy name.
I just have to say thank you guys for coming on the program, because your testimony definitely inspires me, and you're such a great preacher. As if, like, Paul got this supernatural understanding of who God is. Like, you got that same understanding. You read the scripture, you do great sermons, and you preach, and you really have taught me throughout my life different aspects, and your wife is a great teacher as well. She has great ways of explaining complicated issues. So thank you guys so much for being on the program. Remember, if you want to get the book, go to junevoke.com, go to amazon.com. Any final thoughts?
I say this book is a testimony of the faithfulness of God, and I just endorse it, not because my wife wrote it, because it's authentic, because my wife is the most authentic person I know, and you'll be blessed. You will really be blessed. It'll be an investment in your life for you to read this book.
Just thank you, Amber, for having me on, and Shelley on, and thank you for loving us. We love you, and thank you for sharing about my book, The God Who Answers by Fire, A Jewish Saga. Thank you.
Well, remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you.
Hi, I'm Amber May, and I am so excited to be partnering with FootLocker.com. FootLocker is a known leader for footwear and sports apparel. At FootLocker.com, you can pick your favorite athletic shoe or apparel and receive a discount for being a loyal listener without ever leaving your house. Just use the code AFAMBER3 to receive 10% off your purchase at checkout. That's Adam Frank, Amber 3, when purchasing your shoes or apparel at FootLocker.com.